Let's get underway. Welcome, everybody, to Underway, your main home for everything MLS. I am your host, Tyler Wise, and today we have a great episode for you. We will be going over the club previews for this upcoming 2025 MLS season. We're back, baby. We'll be going over the Eastern Conference today. I will talk about what players have come in, what their formation looks like, realistic expectations for this season, and if all these teams signed their players for nothing because Messi is going to win the whole thing. I doubt it. So without further ado, let's get through these roster previews. Up first, we have Atlanta United. They have brought in people like Emmanuel Latelaf, the designated player from Middlesbrough. They spent a league transfer fee to bring him in, as well as club legend Miguel Omarion. They also brought in Mateusz Klich from DC United. He is still on a DP deal at DC, but not here at Atlanta. I really love the team that Ronnie Dyla is going to be heading up this season with Latelaf, Almiron, and Lobodjanidze up top, with Moranchu kind of handling that attacking midfield role. I think that this team is one of the most complete teams in MLS. If they can get Brooks Lennon back and healthy, and if Latelaf can do what we expect him to do, this is just a massive overhaul from a team that well exceeded expectations last season, knocking off Inter Miami. The only spot that I could see where they could upgrade is that left center back spot with Derek Williams. Not a bad choice, but when you're pairing him on a back line in front of Brad Guzan, who's getting a little longer in the teeth, Stian Gregersen is not going to be able to hold down both sides. Derek Williams, a great MLS mainstay, but I could see them upping that with a U22 initiative because they've only taken up one of those spots with Edwin Mosquera. I think until Brooks Lennon gets back healthy, that back line is not going to really show what it can do. But I expect big things from this Atlanta team. I think last season was not a flash in the pan. They want to say, we're building upon it, bringing in a new coach, bringing in the highest incoming transfer, and MLS legend, Miguel Omarion. The vibes are immaculate down in Atlanta. I'm expecting huge things, and I can't wait to see what they accomplish. I fully expect them to be towards the top of the Eastern Conference by the year's end. Charlotte FC has brought in Wilfred Zaha and Eric Williamson. They're going to be running a 4-3-3 attacking. Pep Biel came back on loan again. Patrick Ajimon in Coachella was looking like a god. And if you can get an entire season out of Tim Ream, I think that this team is going to be pretty solid. Zaha, I'm expecting big things from. I know that Galatasaray did not exactly work out the way that he was expecting, and I think they were expecting as well. But the guy is just suited for MLS. I think coming off that left-hand side, pairing him with someone big like Patrick Ajimon, the build-up play, it's going to be really fun to watch. And we also have Chicago Fire FC. They had one of the biggest overhauls I think we've seen in MLS so far. Greg Berhalter, former U.S. men's national team head coach, came in, and he is now the head coach of Chicago and also the general manager. So a lot of these deals, he's bringing in people he either knows from his time at the national team, or in the case like bringing in Jack Elliott, people that he has played against in MLS. So those people that he's brought in, Jonathan Bamba coming off that left-hand side, Jack Elliott, probably one of the best center backs in free agency, David Porrieba, Omari Glasgow, Romangi Kouame, Philip Zinkernagel, Omar Gonzalez, and Sam Rogers, a former U.S. men's national team project, I would say. I don't think he's getting that start, which I think a couple people were hoping for. Carlos Tehran is going to probably hold down that right-hand spot. Looking at how they did in Coachella, and I know that, you know, it's preseason, you can't really take it too seriously, but their pressing was phenomenal. It just looked like they were clicking on all cylinders. I don't think that they will be a contender this season, but I think they will be hovering around that play-in spot if that's what MLS is deciding to do with MLS playoffs again this season. Who knows? They could change it by the time that this comes out. But Brian Gutierrez is primed to take a big, big step. I'm honestly surprised that they were able to keep him around and he wasn't getting calls from Europe. We'll see if that changes when the summer transfer window opens up. But Jonathan Bamba, Hugo Kuipers, Philip Zinkernagel, and Brian Gutierrez is a great attack. Kellen Acosta will probably be in good form again under his national team head coach. And the back line is so-so. Jack Elliott, obviously the star of that. Chris Brady, great, reliable young goalkeeper. It's just, it's missing that next piece. And maybe they'll wait until the summer to figure out, okay, what exactly are we missing? Can we build upon what Zinkernagel brings us? That's what I would expect if they're gonna bring in another DP, is off that right hand side. So I think Chicago Fire fans, you're looking at more of a let's fight our way to the playoffs, but it's gonna be a close one. Cincinnati has been extremely busy. They have brought in Kevin Denke at that time, which was a club record signing. They have brought in Evander, which was a whole saga, and Gilberto Flores and Lucas Engel, who I believe is on loan. They sent Chidozie Awuzie and Ian Murphy to Colorado because they had to make way for teenage Hadebe. Obviously, the big news coming out of FC Cincinnati is that Lucho's no longer there. Lucho went to FC Dallas. They replaced him by paying double as much for Evander. And Luca Orellano is still technically on the team, but we will see what happens with that. I was very much looking forward to this team when it was, hey, we're bringing back Lucho. We signed Kevin Denke. We have Luca Orellano, and Alvaro Barrial is coming back. Barrial's back out on loan. Evander comes in place of Lucho. They play the same position, but they don't necessarily do the same things. I do think that Kevin Denke is going to continue his form that he had back in the Belgium League when he was a Golden Boot winner. I don't think that the fall off will be immense, but I do definitely think that it's not going to be as clear going forward that they're one of the contenders of this league. Moving up north in Ohio, we have the Columbus Crew. They have basically just sent Lassie Lapinen and sold everybody else. Cucho Hernandez went to Real Betis. Christian Ramirez is in Galaxy now. Their team looks very different. I think the only person that they have on a DP role is Diego Rossi and a bunch of homegrowns. No U22 initiatives. Obviously, the window's still open for another month or so. They got to get moving. You know, they are in CONCACAF Champions Cup, and they're going to need to add a lot more pieces if they're trying to be at some semblance of competitive. They brought back that three-back line with Amundsen, Camacho, and Moreira. Solid three in the back in front of Patrick Schulte, who they just locked up for a long extension. They're bringing back people like DeJuan Jones, Max Arfston, Darrington Nagbe, Dylan Chambos, who came from Saint Etienne, who I really expected big things from last season. Obviously, there's a learning curve when it comes to MLS. But the only attacking threat besides Diego Rossi is Jason Russell Rowe, who, if it's his time to shine, it's his time to shine. I know everybody's going to talk about how good he looked in small sample sizes. I don't think that he is at that point yet. I think he's probably another year away. If Columbus really does want to compete, buddy, you got to sign some players. Wilfer Nancy can only do so much, and I don't think that with the roster that it is right now, I don't think you're even sniffing the playoff line, if I'm being honest. Tom Bogert mentioned that they're still looking to bring in a DP number 9. They got to bring in a lot more than that if they want to be competitive. So I'm holding out hope that Columbus will take the money that they just got from Real Betis and inject it back into the team. But as of right now, it's not looking too hopeful. DC United, the once gloried franchise of MLS. Whew. It is, get ready to learn wooden spoon, buddy. They brought in Jose Kanjama, Kim Jung-Hung, Zhao Peglo, Lucas McNaughton, Jordan Farr, Kyle Rolls, Brandon Cervania. But all of those just seem, except for Kim Jung-Hung, they kind of just seem like rotational players. To have a front three of Zhao Peglo, Christian Benteke, and Jared Stroud isn't really signaling, hey, we're attempting to go for the cup or even be competitive at this point. So who knows what they'll do? We'll see a full season of David Schnegg. I think Kim Jong-hoon is going to be incredible starting off this season. But when your only attacking presence is Christian Benteke and his big forehead, I don't know if you can really expect to make a difference. They're still holding that DP spot for Mateusz Klich, who's down in Atlanta now. I believe in Troy Lesane. I believe that he is a good coach. But when the franchise isn't really helping you, it's gonna show, because there's no way that this team is even coming close to the playoffs like they did last season. Right now, I see them as a wooden spoon contender. Up next, we have Inter Miami. They have brought in Fafa Picot, Maxi Falcón, Gonzalo Lujan, Tadeo Allende, and Telasco Segovia. The team has revamped even after they sent a bunch of people out this season. Federico Redondo's coming back. Luis Suarez and his 38-year-old knees are coming back. Sergio Busquets, David Martinez, Thomas Aviles, and Jordi Alba. They're, like, what do you want me to say? They're a complete team, and they also have Julian Gressel as well. Like, this is just, it's fool's gold to think that they're going to finish anywhere lower than first or second in the East. You could try to be hipster and be like, well, I don't think that they'll finish above four. And it's like, well, you're obviously wrong. This is a complete team. Roster mechanisms that they are pulling behind closed doors. I don't know how they're able to pull those off. I know that they got an extra, 1.5 mil in GAM to compete in the Club World Cup, but that's like enough for one player. I don't see how this team is legal, but we'll see. I don't know. It's Messi's league. We're all living in it. Up next is the team that I just pray does well. I can't explain it, but I just want CF Montreal to be good. And they've made some moves so far this season. They brought in Fabian Herbers and Jalen Neal. But CF Montreal, they are relying on MLS retreads and young players to once again try to remain competitive. They re-signed Joel Waterman to an extension and now have a back three of Jalen Neal, Joel Waterman, and George Campbell. And that is a bright spot for this team. I was so much looking forward to what Mateusz Kolarov could do this season. They shipped him out on loan. But we'll see how their homegrown players, as well as Caden Clark and Bryce Duke, do. I think this is going to be a heavily defensive-minded team, hoping that we don't give up as many goals, because if Giacomo Veroni and Prince Owusu are your main goal scorers, there's going to be long days ahead. I know that they're on a U22 initiative. They have filled up all four of those spots. And Giacomo Veroni is taking up the designated player spot brought to you by Victor Wanyama. He is no longer on the team, so now it is Giacomo Veroni's turn. I hope that they've signed another DP player. Corey Ray is somebody who I have so much trust in. I can't explain why. I've never met the man, but he just is phenomenally smart. He was brought in this offseason to help as a consultant and now brought in on a permanent job title. I don't know. Maybe it's just the optimist in me. I hope that they do good. You know, I really do. But the way that their roster is set up, and we still don't know what's going on with the Poku, it's going to be a bottom of the East again. The boys in black are back, and now they're in blue. Nashville SC. They have brought in MLS Cup MVP Gaston Brugman, Edvard Tagseth, Andy Nahar, Ahmed Qasem, Jason Palacios. The team has seen an overhaul, and it's still missing a couple pieces, mainly in that back line. But I think this is a pretty good transfer window for Nashville. I know their fans aren't super happy with it, but when you have an attack of Qasem, Hani Mukhtar, Sam Surridge, and Jacob Schaffelberg, honestly, it's not that bad. They'll be in that bottom tier of MLS playoff teams, But with a healthy Walker Zimmerman, we'll see what Jack Maurer does. I think it's not that bad. It's definitely not Montreal level. And we'll see if Hany Mukhtar can get back to his MLS MVP level that he was at. He took a massive dip last season. Maybe it's just more so the talent around him than him personally. But BJ Callahan comes in. I think you'll notice a pretty big step for them. The New England Revolution have also had a pretty big overhaul. Caleb Porter is currently in put up or shut up time. The man has won pretty much every stop that he's made. And I think he's trying to figure out a way where he can make the Revolution a team in his image. They have brought in Brian Ceballos from Dynamo Kiev, Mamadou Fofana, Jackson Yule, Leo Campana on the biggest gam trade, Luis Diaz, and Ignacios Ganago. I think Ganago is probably the biggest piece. I know Leo Campana, everybody is hoping that he will take that next step. I think he is what you will get, which is a solid MLS number 9. He's going to get his goals. He's not going to be charging for that MLS Golden Boot race anytime soon. But with a front three of Ignacio Ganago, Leo Campana, and Luca Langoni, who I am so huge on, like, I cannot tell you how good I think this guy is going to be off that right-hand side with Carlos Gil, hopefully healthy and being able to find some creases to get Langoni and Campana the ball. You're looking at a much improved roster. There's a little bit of hesitation on that back line if you're hoping that Peyton Miller is going to take that big step. I know that they brought in Will Sands to be that insurance policy. I think Peyton Miller is going to be good, and I know that the Revolution think he's going to be good too. It's just a matter of if he's able to take that step up. But a new MLS pairing of Fofana and Ceballos, we'll see how it works. Ceballos comes over from Dynamo Kiev, a team that I know incredibly well. He was solid. We'll see if it translates over to MLS. The Ukrainian league is a little different. And look, I don't know if I'm necessarily buying Revolution stock right now, but I do think that they're going to improve. NYCFC has brought in basically nobody except for their new head coach, Pascal Janssen, who I am incredibly big on. And yeah, they're returning to what they did in 2024, which is not much. I mean, Alonso Martinez has been a revelation up front. I know Bakrar, they were hoping would take that next step up, but it was Alonso. I think, you know, he's going to be reliable, but if on a front three of Ojeda and Alonso Martinez and Hannes Wolf with Julian Fernandez sprinkled in, I know the joke is every MLS team makes the playoffs. It's going to be tough for them. Maxi Morales is coming back, but he is 37 years old, so I don't know how many minutes you're going to get out of him. And that back line is just so-so. Matt Freeze, phenomenal season last year, has gotten call-ups to the national team. He's going to have a great season again, but they're missing so many pieces, and I just hope that City Football Group will be able to invest in this team the way that they should, especially since they're building that brand new stadium. You want to get fans excited. You know, you don't want to roll out a bottom of the East team a couple years before you're moving into a new stadium. So hopefully they'll make some signings, but as it stands right now, yikes. The New York Red Bulls have been busy. They brought in Alexander Hack, Erik-Maxime Choupo-Moting, Omar Valencia, Raheem Edwards, and Tim Parker, who I think has been not talked about enough about how good of a signing that he will be. They're obviously bringing back Emil Forsberg and Lewis Morgan. They sent out Andres Reyes. So Alexander Hack kind of takes that role with Noah Eiley hovering in the back. Not sure right now if they'll be a 3-4-2-1 or 4-2-3-1. Who knows? But it's hard to say that they improved on a team that made it to MLS Cup last season. But I think they have improved. That run was so improbable. So obviously they're not going to live up to that expectation. But I think if they trotted out this team last season, nobody would be surprised that they made it to the Cup final, obviously. They also brought in Marcelo Morales on that left-hand side with Raheem Edwards as an insurance policy. The Nealis brothers are taking up that right-hand side. Felipe Carbajo, I expect huge things from him. Again, Daniel Edelman going to take that next step. Not sure what their plan is in the attack, but Choupo-Moting, Forsberg, Lewis Morgan, is going to be good with Cameron Harper sprinkled in. They're going to finish higher than what they did last season as far as playoff seeding is concerned. Whether they get back to MLS Cup or not, that's up for discussion. But right now, great job, Red Bulls. Like, I'm honestly surprised that they have had such a good offseason, with some Red Bulls fans not happy about it. I get, like, Choupo-Moting. Some people don't want him in on as a DP deal, but he is such a better player than Dante Van Zier was. So, you know, you're really just picking at straws when you can look down the street and see NYCFC not doing anything. Who would you rather be in this situation? I'd choose Red Bulls easily. So, Red Bulls, great job. Everybody who's complaining about it, see you in the playoffs. Orlando City SC has shipped out Facundo Torres and brought in Marco Pasalic, Nicolas Rodriguez, and Edward Atuesta. With Facundo Torres being gone, it opens up a space up top. Still not sure how they're going to take this, though, because they have Ivan Angulo, Ramiro Enrique, Duncan Maguire, Luis Muriel, Marco Pasalic, and Martino Heda. Martin's going to probably be playing that 10 role. Marco's going to be on the right. Angulo's probably going to be on the left. And you have three center forwards that could all start for your team. Luis Muriel is a designated player. He did not play like a designated player last season. And Big Dunk is there just killing it like he always does. Ramiro Enrique expecting a big step from him. So it's anybody's game up front. We'll see how they do with figuring out playing time. The thing that I'm most worried about is that back line. They have Robert Janssen, Rodrigo Schlegel, and David Brocalo in that center back role. I think that's okay. Rafael Santos and Dagerdan as your backs. Not great. Not terrible either, but just, you know, not great. So I think that's one spot where they could probably improve, maybe bring in a U22 initiative player to maybe fight for that starting spot. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, Edward Atuesta has been brought in from Palmeiras after spending the season on loan with LAFC. He didn't look like his old form with LAFC, but he was also not playing in a system that fit his style. So we'll see how much Orlando can get out of him. I don't think that what we saw last season is indicative of who he is as a player. But Orlando, they obviously overhauled the roster a little bit and brought in better players for this season. So I don't think it's going to be a fall off at all. They'll probably finish the same place that they did last season. I took them as the team that I thought would win the East last season. Maybe that was just a hipster pick. Obviously, they didn't do that, but, you know, we all make mistakes. The gang of homegrowns, Philadelphia Union. Oy, oy, oy. I don't know what they're doing. Bradley Carnell comes in after they shipped out Jim Curtin unceremoniously. He inherits a team with Mikel Oure, Ty Baribo, Daniel Gosdog, and Quinn Sullivan up top. They haven't really brought in much players. I mean, I know they're expecting big things from Bruno Damiani. I honestly don't know much about him. And Ian Glanovich from Newell's Old Boys is taking up that spot that Jack Elliott left. Their back line, always solid. Goalkeeper, always solid. It's just, do they have enough firepower to actually score some goals? They'll stop a lot of goals, but will they be able to score goals? And when you're talking about bringing in a club record fee of Bruno Damiani for $3.4 million, it's just what this club is, you know? They don't spend a lot of money, and they rely on homegrowns. And one of those homegrowns is Kevin Sullivan. You know, how much are we going to actually see of this guy? You know, did they just bring him in last season so that they could film it on the new Apple TV docuseries Offside for MLS? So that they could say, well, we have someone younger than Freddie Adu. You know, I wouldn't put it past MLS to do that, but the kid looks primed. I think he's ready for a good rotational role behind his brother. Who knows? But this is not the same league that Freddie Adu joined. You know, this is a much more physical league. We'll see how Kevin does. I'm not expecting 10 goals, 8 assists, or anything like that from him, but I do expect him to be kind of a key player off the bench for them. Philly, we'll see how Bradley Carnell does with that pressing style, and I don't know, man. It's looking okay. It's not looking great. It's just looking okay. And last in the East is everybody's favorite Italian team, Toronto FC. They have brought in Ola Bringelson and Theo Corbino, and that's about it. they are still relying on Bernadeschi, and I don't know what's going on with Insigne. They've tried to get him out, but he has rejected every deal that has come before him. I don't know if he just wants to watch the world burn, or he enjoys his time in Toronto getting paid while not producing on the field, but a once prominent team is looking pretty bleak right now. I think Robin Fraser is a solid head coach. He's returning back after being the assistant in Toronto during that Greg Vanney term, where Toronto was the best team in North America at that point. It just seems unfair to him that he is going from a job in Colorado where they didn't invest heavily, and as soon as he left, they started investing heavily. And now Toronto, who is known for investing heavily, is not doing so. I don't know what it is that people are refusing to spend money on his teams. He's a great head coach. I hope that he gets a real shot at improving this team, because it's not bad, but it's not anywhere close to good either. Richie Larea, Matty Longstaff, and Jonathan Osorio are solid pieces, you know? Bernadeschi, when he's bought in, great. But to bring back a team that didn't do good last season and expect different results is, I don't know, like read a history book for once. The history has a chance of repeating itself when you do the same thing over and over again. And right now they're staring down a wooden spoon. And Toronto fans don't deserve that. Toronto fans are some of the best in MLS. And yeah, they're rolling out a mediocre lineup. If we're being honest, like that back line besides Richie Larea is going to let in so many goals, and it's not fair on Sean Johnson, who's a good MLS goalkeeper, to have to deal with that. So who knows, man? We'll see. And sorry to bring it down in a bummer, but that is your Eastern Conference preview. Be on the lookout for the season preview for the Western Conference, which should be coming out the day after you're listening to this, so that we can get it out before the season starts off. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave a review, man. 5 stars, cool. If you don't like me, 4 stars. I'll settle for that. And we'll see you next time. I am always your host, Tyler Wise. Love you. Bye.
Underway has been brought to you by 818 Productions. Any use of Underway, either acquired through podcast or video format, that is captured by a third party with proper credentials requires the direct written consent of 818 Productions, and must be used in compliance with all requirements and restrictions stated therein.